It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Hello, welcome to News to Me. It is September 1st, 2021. At 1900 UTC.
That's correct.
Hooray! Alright. Sorry, I was just being a little silly. let me just go ahead and press G for go to. Come on. G for go to. Then a non-radio, all lowercase, all one word. Press enter. Boom. Like magic, I'm in the Anon Radio room in Calm, hanging out with cool people like Northern Lights and myself. M. Stoney's in here, Tobe's in here, Zaptar. We got lots of people, DC Trude, SMJ, just the whole crew. Tobe will be around. Jazzmaz is always listening, although I haven't heard in a while. So yeah, hello, welcome one and all. It is that time. So let's go ahead and get started the way we almost always start. And that's with
world news.
World news, that's right. Okay, so let's get going. All right, so first up, Japan has found black particles in Moderna vaccine. Japan put a batch of Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine on hold after a foreign substance was found in a vial. A pharmacist saw several black particles in one vial of the vaccine in Kanagawa Prefecture, according to authorities. So, we talked about them. I don't know if it was Japan or Korea, but one of the island nations, one of those countries, they had found stuff floating around in their recent batch of Pfizer vaccine. So this is interesting that it's now in their Moderna vaccine. So some 3,790 people had already received shots from the batch. The rest of the batch has now been put on hold. It comes less than a week after Japan suspended the use of about 1.63 million Moderna doses due to contamination. The pharmacist found the black particles while checking for foreign substances before the vaccine's use. The jab's domestic distributor has called the vial suspected to be contaminated. Local media reports say there is no evidence so far of any health hazards caused by the potentially contaminated vaccine. Takeda Pharmaceutical, which sells and distributes the vaccine in Japan, had just last week put three batches of the vaccine on hold after foreign materials were found in some doses. Spanish pharmaceutical firm Rovi, which bottles the vaccine, said in a statement that a manufacturing line in Spain could be the cause of the issue. Yeah, Korea's a peninsula, that's why I was like, oh, whoops, and had to backtrack. Welcome, Publius, thanks for joining in. And hello, GTC1977, thank you for being here. Takeda Pharmaceutical, So Rovi says they might be the cause of the issue. It added that it was conducting an investigation. On Tuesday, Japan's health minister said foreign matter found in jabs in the southern prefecture of Okinawa were due to needles being incorrectly inserted into vials. Japan is battling a spike in COVID cases while it hosts the Paralympic Games. Its vaccination rollout has been relatively slow, with just over 40% of Japanese people fully vaccinated and around 50% having received one dose. So, we shall see what comes of this. Hopefully it's just some kind of manufacturing problem, and fingers crossed they just gotta not inject people with the black dots, maybe some rubber line or something, you know, or strain. Could you imagine? Sorry, there is some rubber in the vaccine, just run it through this strainer, this filter real quick, but please don't throw it away, it's very expensive. Amid violent reprisals, Afghans fear the Taliban's amnesty was empty. Since they took control of Afghanistan just over 2 weeks ago, the Taliban have sought to portray a more moderate image than when they last seized power in 1996. They've repeatedly said they'll grant amnesty to all, including those who worked for Western militaries or the Afghan government or police. In a dramatic press conference after the group swept into Kabul, Chief Spokesman Zabihullah Mujahid made a declaration of forgiveness. But there is growing evidence that the reality on the ground is different to the rhetoric coming from Taliban leaders and spokesmen. Surprise, surprise. It was not lost on some watching the press conference in Kabul that Mr. Mujahid made his declaration from the seat of the former government spokesman Dawa Khan Manipal, who had been killed by the group just weeks earlier, as punishment for his deeds. So, now sources inside Afghanistan, as well as some who recently fled, have told BBC that Taliban fighters are searching for and allegedly killing people they pledged they would leave in peace. Several sources confirmed that Taliban fighters last week executed two senior police officials, the security director of Baghdadi's province, and Ghulam Saki Abari, security director of Farah province. Video footage showed... Oh, I'm going to cough here. One sec. There we go. Sorry about that. So, pretty weird. Why even bother saying that they're going to be kinder, gentler if they're not? As the Taliban settles into power, part of the concern is that even if all their promises of clemency are true, the group's factions are not all necessarily in agreement and not necessarily under control. Many in Afghanistan doubt the Taliban leadership plans to honor its own amnesty. They doubt the group is a new, moderate version of its old self. If violent acts of intimidation and reprisal go unaccounted for and unpunished by leadership, it will become clear that the Taliban of the present is no less ruthless than the Taliban of the past. So, very troubling. So yeah, this is almost non-news. Everyone was holding out hope that the Taliban's promises and new image were really going to stick around, but it doesn't look like it. Only time will tell, but so far reports are coming back not so great. Well, you know, you heard about Taliban 2.0, SMJ pointing it out. So that's always a bummer. But don't worry, now we're going to get COVID version, 4? It's going to be called Mew, like Mew 2. Not really Mew. It's MU. So Mike Uncle. Or Mike Uniform. And so Mew. But in my head, I'm thinking Mew and Mewtwo like the Pokemon. The World Health Organization has said it is monitoring a new coronavirus known as Mew, which was first identified in Colombia in January 2021. Mew, known scientifically as Bravo.1.621, has been classified as a variant of interest, the global health body said Tuesday in its weekly pandemic bulletin. The WHO said, the variant has mutations that indicate a risk of resistance to vaccines and stressed that further studies were needed to better understand it. The Mu variant has a constellation of mutations that indicate potential properties of immune escape, the bulletin said. There is a widespread concern over the emergence of new virus mutations as infection rates are ticking up, globally again, with the highly transmissible Delta variant taking hold, especially among the unvaccinated, and in regions where antivirus measures have been relaxed. All viruses, including SARS-CoV-2 that causes COVID-19, mutate over time, and mutations have little or no effect on the properties of the virus. But certain mutations can impact the properties and influence how easily it spreads, the severity of the disease it causes, and its resistance to vaccines, drugs, and other countermeasures. The WHO currently identifies 4 variants of concern, including Alpha, which is present in 193 countries, and Delta, present in 170 countries. 5 variants, including Mu, are to be monitored. After being detected in Colombia, Mu has since been reported in other South American countries and in Europe. The WHO said its global prevalence has declined to below 0.1% among sequenced cases. In Colombia, however, it's at 39%. So, very scary. So Mu, hopefully we do not see Mu 2, because then, you know, we're in the end part of the game. All right. Yeah, lots of stuff going on, but don't worry. It gets better. Mostly. Maybe. Mostly. What am I thinking? Words. What am I thinking? Sorry, that's just a peek into my mind. I'm thinking of not sound control. Is it this? All right. It was PAVU control. That was what I was trying to think of. Pulse audio volume control. All right. Let's see if we can make this happen. And we take this and we point it to the output devices. Sorry, I'm trying to make this happen so that I can... Oh, shucks. I was hoping that I could play a YouTube sound clip for everyone, but I can't, so sorry.
Resistance is futile.
It is futile. All right, focus.
World news. All
right, world news. Here we go. Hey, X1, welcome, welcome. Here we go. Libya told to kick out foreign fighters and mercenaries. Countries neighboring Libya wrapped up their meeting Tuesday in Algeria with calls for foreign fighters and mercenaries to be pulled out from the conflict-stricken North African nation. The two-day meeting also urged Libyan parties to stick to a political roadmap that ended hostilities last year and set parliamentary and presidential elections in December. The meeting hosted by Algeria was attended by foreign ministers of Egypt, Tunisia, Sudan, Chad, and Niger. Oh, Tunisia's in the mix. That's interesting. Those countries have for years been concerned over the chaos in Libya. The UN envoy for Libya, Jan Kubris, Arab League Secretary General Ahmed Abdul Gait, and representative of the African Union also attended. Libya's been racked by chaos since a NATO-backed uprising toppled longtime dictator Muammar Gaddafi in 2011 and split the country between a UN-supported government in the capital of Tripoli and rival authorities loyal to Commander Khalifa Hiftar in the east. Khalifa Hiftar in the east. Each has been backed by different armed groups and foreign governments. UN-sponsored peace talks brought about a ceasefire and installed an interim government that's expected to lead the country into a general election in December. So, yeah, desktop audio and mix don't get along. I was trying a trick, but it failed. UN-sponsored peace talks. So we'll see how this plays out. One of the big things is UN-sponsored peace talks. The UN and the US kind of try their best to do that, but I think a lot of countries in Africa suffer because the United States and the UN, led by the United States, has really tried to push like the American version of democracy and everything on these countries, and they try to do all this nation building. And I mean, people are different, cultures are different in different places, so you can't just cookie cutter everything to everybody. So anyway, we shall see. Hopefully the people are able to come up with a government that they like and they can support, and then they have peaceful transfers of power and everything. One other story for us, and then...
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Yeah, we will. Zambian President Hichilema inherits empty treasury, he says. Zambia's new president has told the BBC he inherited an empty treasury while horrifying of amounts of money had been stolen. People are still trying to make a last-minute movements of funds, which are unauthorized, which are not theirs, President Hakainde Hichilema said. He defeated his rival Edgar Lungu in the presidential elections last month. Mr. Hichilema did not name any officials. Mr. Lungu has previously denied all wrongdoing. BBC approached his party for comment. Mr. Lungu governed the copper-rich nation since 2015. He was widely praised for the smooth transition of power, which transferred to Mr. Hichilema after 5 failed attempts. Mr. Hichilema won the election on a promise to tackle corruption and to end the financial and economic crisis that has seen Zambia's debt ballooning. For the first time since 1998, Zambia plunged into a recession last year. It also defaulted on a debt payment. In the BBC interview, the new president described a treasury as literally empty. He added that the hole is much bigger than we expected, and the debt situation has not been fully disclosed. There's a lot of damage, unfortunately. He added that his government would show zero tolerance towards corruption and would get to the bottom of what he called the illicit movement of funds very soon. I don't want to preempt things, but what we are picking up is horrifying, the president said. So, this is troubling, and hopefully he's able to get it fixed or figure out it's like if people are transferring huge sums of money out of the country's treasury, hopefully the president's able to get this fixed, or the banks are able to listen to them and get it reversed or whatever. Zambia owed foreign lenders an estimated $12 billion, 8.6 billion euros. No. L. Pounds. Previous reports said it spends at least 30% of its revenue on interest payments. Last year, Zambia missed an interest payment, making it the first African country to default on a loan during the pandemic. It also is facing difficulties repaying other loans. The former government had borrowed heavily, including from China, to build infrastructure. Mr. Hishalima said the government was committed to restoring its credibility. The government would enter talks with China, which he was confident would understand that we've inherited a very difficult situation. The International Labor Organization estimates that unemployment rose to more than 12% in 2020, the highest since 2011. The promise to create jobs for young Zambians was another key reason behind his election victory. So, yeah, so it's going to be very interesting. I've been saying that a lot today, sorry. But I'm very invested in how Zambia deals with this, because I think, anyway, a country that has peaceful transfers of power, it's like, all right, it's exciting. And so this news kind of bummed me out, and so I'm really interested and want to be sure that it works out. Well, you know what they say.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Yep, that's what they say. So let's see if we can find something happy, something not so sad. Let's see. So here's a song. I've never listened to it. It's called Happy Time by Tim Buckley, and the genre is listed as folk/psychedelic folk. Do you guys know who that is? I don't. So let's go ahead and see what it sounds like together. This is Happy Time from Tim Buckley. Fingers crossed it's not terrible. And welcome, Tobe. Thanks for joining in.
Oh, it's a happy time inside my mind when a melody does find a rhyme. It says to me I'm coming home to stay. Something about love for glory, a nickel and a dime, a dozen things. Ah, it's such a shame. Ah, the way they'll use your name. Ah, you know it's such a shame. When it's only mine to sing a song, hoping that you'd cross along my way before I have to move along. I'll now move along. Ah, but I'll be back again. Melody does find a rhyme, and says to me I'm coming home to stay.
Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You are listening to a non-radio powered by SDF, the Superior Dimension Fortress. Superior Superdimensional Fortress. There we go. It is a fantastic Macross-themed BBS, and it also has a lot of other cool computer stuff, so definitely check it out. I do want to go ahead and mention that coming up at 1930 UTC, we got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, and if you're in comp, you can press the equal sign and see what else is happening today. We've got the Banana Republic coming up at 00 UTC tonight, so that'll be Thursday, at the very beginning of Thursday, or if you're in the U.S., it's during the day. We also have 33 and a third with Butt Stuff is back. Holy cow, that's really exciting. That's an amazing show. DJ Butt Stuff is a real treat, so that's going to be amazing. So yeah, check that out. The full schedule is there on anonradio.net. And just a little reminder for you, on September 7th, a little less than a week away, Anon Radio is going to be 25 years old. Can you believe it? 25 years of Anon Radio going on. What? Oh, snap. That blew my mind. I don't even know what to say now. Let's go over here to anonradio.net real quick. Let's go ahead and look. Oh, man. Yes. Oh, folks. Hold on. We got to do this right. Anon Radio listeners, please bring your attention to AnonRadio.net schedule on Friday and, on Saturday and Sundays at 2300 UTC. You can listen to DJ Snowdust in the Intergalactic Wasabi Mix. So, show up. Anyway, there's a 25th anniversary happening on the 25th, on the 7th, and it's going to be awesome. So definitely come check it out from 00 UTC all the way through. You can buy stuff on the store. There'll be a whole bunch of stuff happening. Anyway, I'm sorry I went a bit too long on that, but Anon Radio is really cool, and I got super excited to see Snowdusk. Snowdusk is on the calendar. The whole calendar is just packed now. It's pretty great. So anyway, and welcome, B-Mark, BM Karen. Welcome. All right, so let's just go ahead. We've got to get some more news out, but get this. There's other sad stuff happening right now, so...
Excuse me while I whip this out.
We're going to do a couple of happy stories. Gigantic 438-year-old coral discovered in the Great Barrier Reef in excellent condition. A huge 438-year-old coral has been discovered in Australia's Great Barrier Reef in great condition. Exciting researchers. So this is very exciting news. As you know, there's been a lot of global warming, sea warming, all this stuff. But hey, a 438-year-old coral is still doing okay. And... Baking Bad. Ex-cons are mentored as bakers, and now their bread is in the best restaurants. A Scottish bakery is teaching ex-cons new schools, and it's providing bread to some of the country's poshest restaurants. So, this is very cool. Basically, a bakery run by a Cambridge graduate is teaching ex-cons new skills, including providing bread to some of Scotland's restaurants. Freedom Bakery in Glasgow's East End provides well-known eateries, including ubiquitous chip with bread rolls. The social enterprise was set up by Matt Fountain, who grew up watching his stepfather struggle to establish a life after being released from jail in Kent, and who had visited in prison at age 12 and begged never to go again. Matt enrolled in university courses in Manchester, studied history and art in London, spent a year in Glasgow, and attended Cambridge. He returned to Glasgow and had the chance to do a PhD at Oxford, but opted not to. Instead, he decided to invest his time and energy into helping people, including convicted murderers, reintegrate into society. 2014, he was granted permission to use a small kitchen in HMP Low Moss, Glasgow. Matt planned to make and sell bread at the same time, but those prisoners, through a recognized qualification for the baking industry, Oh, excuse me. Put those prisoners through a recognized qualification for the baking industry, SVQ Level 2 in craft baking. By 2017, he was working with prisoners in notorious Barlinning and pairing them with qualified bakers in order to help them obtain a qualification. There are currently 16 employees, and a third were recruited from jails. Matt said it's a mixture of long-term and short-term sentences, including drug-related offenses, fraud, and I'm afraid to say manslaughter and murder. So, this is pretty cool, and I think that's great. Glaswegia. I just thought this was a good story, and it's kind of positive. One other story that's kind of positive, and then we'll jump back into our more normal fare if we've got time. Solar boom times as Lebanon's, which is a terrible, this headline's awful. So Lebanon had a giant explosion that basically destroyed the capital of the country and the government. But solar boom times as Lebanon's fossil fuels run dry. Blackouts have gripped Lebanon in recent weeks as the entire nation is forced to adjust to life without electricity. Because of the government's failure to secure heavy fuel oil for power plants, electricity provided by the state-owned Electricité du Liban has dwindled to 2 hours per day and has been shut off completely in some areas of the country. Privately owned diesel generators, which used to cover the three-hour gap in government-supplied power, are now responsible for the remaining 22 hours a day. High demand and lack of imports have led to extreme fuel scarcity. Yeah, exactly. We've got all that fuel pouring into the Mediterranean right now. Privately owned diesel generators, we talked about that yesterday. Yeah, and I think that's true, X1. A job out of prison, you need a job. And that's something that the United States really struggles with our giant prison population. But yeah, people, once they've served their time, they gotta have a way to do it. Or have a way to make a normal life. High demand and lack of imports have led to extreme fuel scarcity and a black market selling hoarded fuel at rates the majority of Lebanon cannot afford. The government's reduced subsidies on diesel fuel and moved to allow for direct importation, hoping to alleviate scarcity. But the only result has been near fourfold price on increases. Generator subscription fees have risen to astronomical levels, as high as $375 on the parallel currency exchange market for enough electricity to keep a family home cool through hot summer nights. Those wealthy enough to accept high fees still face daily power cuts as generator owners attempt to conserve fuel. So, very troubling. If only they had that guy in Africa we talked about yesterday who set up a home generator and set it all up. Yeah, you're right, Northern Lights. Yeah, in California, they use forced labor from prisoners, well, slave labor. They don't pay the guys. They make them fight fires. But once they get out of prison, they can't get hired as firefighters. There was a recent law passed that allowed some of them to go through that process, but it's kind of weird. It's a bit complicated. It's not as simple as it should be. All right. Well, we've only got about 2 minutes left, so let me leave you with some troubling news. In the state of Texas, a lot of laws go into effect because everything that's passed in the spring has until September 1st for it to go into effect. That way everybody can fight them. Well, the most extreme abortion law in the United States has taken effect in the United States, or taken effect in Texas. A near total ban in Texas empowers any private citizen to sue an abortion provider who violates the law, opening the floodgates to harassing and frivolous lawsuits from anti-abortion vigilantes that could eventually shutter most clinics in the state. So, it's very weird. Definitely read about it if you have any interest in reproductive rights.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Thanks everyone for tuning in. I'll be pre-recording tomorrow and Fridays probably, but I'll jump in calm if I can. Thank